Parsha brings, Parsha Shemos, brings how Moshe and Aaron went to go ahead and plead Klal Yisrael's case. They were being enslaved by Paro and it was a terrible torture situation, slavery, and Moshe Rabbeinu went to plead with Aaron the case for Klal Yisrael, to ask for help, assistance, whatever it was. Yom Aleim Melch Mitzrayim, Pasuk Dalid, Lama Moshe B'Aaron Tarfiyu Asayim Ma'asav, why you people, why Moshe Aaron, why you disturbing the people, disrupting them from their actions, from their work? L'chul Sevel Sechem, go do your work. Do your own work. Rashi points out over there, L'chul Sevel Sechem, what does that mean? L'chul Amlachtechem, Shiesh Lachem Lassus Vatechem. Go do your housework, you have to take care of your paperwork, you have to do your house cleaning, cooking for supper, for Shabbos, whatever it was, but Rafuke wasn't, they weren't part of the slavery. Avamlecha Shibud Mitzrayim, as Rashi is trying to say, don't be misled by the words, because it was referring to the housework. Avamlecha Shibud Mitzrayim, but with regard to the melacha of the avoda, the Shibud enslavement in Mitzrayim, ohoysa al shivato shifto shalevi. There was no obligation, it wasn't incumbent upon them to do the work on Shevet Levi. Moshe and Aaron were part of Shevet Levi, and it wasn't their responsibility, or they weren't enslaved to do the work. Therefore, it must be, means, go to your housework, but not to slavery. Because they weren't Meshubat. How do we know this? Rashi, Moshe and Aaron, Yeltsim Bom Shlo Bishus. They would go back and forth. They're going like, what, if they were involved in slavery, how were they doing walking around? I mean, everyone was enslaved. They couldn't. They had no free time. They have no, you know, afternoon siesta. So what's Moshe and Aaron doing walking around? So it must be, says Rashi, that it must be that they never had to work. They were not enslaved, and they just had to do the regular work in their house. Says Adas Kenem, V'chulos of Rosechem, Pirush Rashi, says Rashi, Sheshevet Levi on the Shtabe. There was no Shibud for Sheva Levi, V'chein Itmar, Medrash. Why was that true? Why did that happen? How did it come about like that? Ki Metchilo, Kishabolo Hen, Beferech, right? The Pasuk says, by Avidu Mitzrayim, 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 Beferech, right? Paro, Mitzrayim were enslaved the people or made them work. Beferech, what does Beferech mean? Beperach, with a soft voice, with a soft mouth, soft discussion. Kedashin Re'el, right, like we say above, we'll see in a minute what that means. Omar Shevet Levi. So Shevet Levi said, "Asidim anu ravod avodas maso shal kodesh baruch hu." We are in the future going to go ahead and they knew what their destiny was. It would be their job to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, avodas maso, the work in the Beis Hamikdash, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's work. Horiro shal navod shum avodah l'rosh hazeh. So how can we go ahead and do this servitude for this Russia? Bishum schar, for any amount of money in the world. Shitan, he'll pay us. And therefore the Levim responded, Vamru kulam, she'enam yodim, rasos levenim, they're not into construction, they're not into work, they can't make the bricks, the mortar. Me'el siyom v'hala, from then on, rohoya ro, pischom pergish olahem, shum dov ravoda. So Paro had no excuse to ask them. So I think what the Das Kenem seems to mean very simply is that initially it was beperach. In other words, there was the slavery didn't just happen all of a sudden. Paro went out and said, "I want you guys to work." There wasn't like that. It was beperach. It was soft, cajoling, enticing voice. He went out, offered them, came into town. I have great jobs for you, $100,000, $1 million, whatever jobs, right? Great salary. Everything was very enticing for Pekayis to join the workforce because it was for a good salary. So that's what happened initially. So everyone came out and signed up for the job. Comes along Levi, so they call Levi in. Would like a job? Put up a sign, the house of Levi, put up a sign on the bulletin board. Levi says, "Nah, it's not for us, we don't want the job." And because they didn't want the job, so comes later on, even when the rest of Klal Yisrael, they transferred their changed the deal on them, right? They're working, and they started, I guess, maybe took a cut in pay initially, another cut in pay, finally it was mamish for nothing, and they were mamish slaves at the end. But Levi, you know, Levi never got their foot into the door. Levi was never part of the workforce. They remained that way. You know, Paro wasn't such a rush that all of a sudden he'll take people who weren't working and make them slaves. That never happened. He fooled them, he misled them, and he got them into the workforce. Once they got into the workforce, then they eventually became a slave. But Levi hit the jackpot, right? And they initially refused. They didn't want to do the work. They didn't accept the jobs. So Mela, therefore, later on, eventually, even by Moshe Arnel, years later, or whenever it was throughout the whole time, Levi was not subject to slavery because they were never worked. They never had to have a job in the beginning. Very nice. But if you notice about both sides, what does Daskin say? Why didn't they take the job? Remember, it's a very, it says, Afigu, what's the Lashon? It says, B'shum schar, shiten lanu. There was a very lucrative position. There was a lot of money being offered for these people to work from Paro. Levi said, no, it's not for us. Why not? Because they recognized they had, I guess, Nevuah. They knew the future, what was going to be. We're eventually going to be workers in the Mishkan. And it's pashnish, it's not appropriate. I mean, a wonderful, beautiful, high-level concept that since I'm going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do his bidding, it's not right for me to go ahead and do the bidding and work for Paro the Russia. The new Paro the Russia. It wasn't just found a job any place, but it was Rishus working for helping, I guess it means build an empire for Russia, Marusha Paro. So it's not possible, not right for me to go ahead, for us, the Levium, to do that, because look who we are. We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. We're his servants, not slaves, we're his workers. I've also, just to think about it, this, a chaver of mine once said the Shmuz, a very small, beautiful deher, but very powerful point, in that because they recognize their innate chashivas, they recognize what their tafkid was, they recognize who they are. And when you appreciate that and recognize that, it's such a powerful force when really deher and appreciate it, they had the job of a lifetime, right? They're looking for this great computer job or this great stockbroker job, and it's offered on a silver platter. Everyone's running for it. No, I don't care how much money you give me, it doesn't make a difference. I'm not taking the job. Why didn't they take it? Because they had the hakara of who they were. They had a job, they had a certain mission. And when you have that self-chashivas and recognition of who you are, it helps you avoid tremendous amount of potential mishaps. Application to us, that's small to hair, maybe it's never push it, but that's how powerful it is and how important it is to recognize, as we hear many, many shmuzim about the person has to recognize, number one, he's a tzelem elokim. Or let's make it more simple, right? The Chovas Lovas talks about, and the Baal Yemus talk about the different levels of the creation, right? So you have the lowest level is the domain, right? Inanimate objects, the rocks and the ground. The next level is the plant life. Next level is animals. Next is human beings. So we're on top of the hill, Rabbos. We're mamish on top. We are human beings. Human beings who have within us a Tzelem Elokim. We have within us a special kawach, a special image, a special tzelem, a reflection, a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's who we are. And not just that, Rabbos. And we're given the Torah. We're part of Kai Yisroel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chosen people. And we're not just that. We're people who are from B'nai Torah. We're from people. We're Shomer Shabbos. We're above those, right? And on top of that, we're B'nai Torah. People have a chance to learn the yeshiva. So if you're Makir, Rabbos, it's so important, it's so powerful, a force we have in our arsenal. If a person just simply recognizes with depth of understanding, not simply, but it's Dvarim Pshutim, but if you recognize who you are on both sides, there's no question. That's what Chazal talk about all the time. The Baal Yemush talk about how when we recognize that, it helps us, it prevents us from doing things which the average person out there is not terrible things. There was nothing so terrible about working for Paro. But it was a recognition of who we are and how chush we are. So I can't do something which is passage for me to do. If I'm a Ben Torah, if I'm a Tzelem Elokim, if I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu's creation, I'm part of his nation, his people, how can I go ahead and act in an unbefitting way? How can I dress in an unbefitting way? How can I talk in an unbefitting way? How can I do actions which are not befitting? How can I not do what I'm supposed to be doing? Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me so much, he made me such a high-level Bria. So, not Rapasha, but it's so our both sides. I just emphasize it because it's so important to keep in mind. And it can make the world of a difference in terms of how it saved their lives. It saved their whole future. The whole future, all the 210 years, whatever it was, I don't know how long they were enslaved, but all those years, they were not part of the slave workforce because they had the hakara, and the hakara stopped them initially from going ahead and getting involved and getting this tremendous, beautiful job offer and taking it, accepting it, and therefore they weren't slaves eventually. So also we have to try to focus, we have to learn Musar and recognize who we are and how chashuv we are, and if we are someone like that, if we deher who we are, that'll stop us and enable us from doing things which are inappropriate. In a little similar vein, about in terms of inspiration, of knowing what's going on, I have to share with you probably the famous Shmuz, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says in this week's parasha also, Pasuk talks about when Moshe was a baby, was put out in the Yamsuf, and his sister is watching over there, and Bas Parah comes along and sees this little basket floating in the Nile River. And what happens over there? So she says, Vater Pasuke, Vater Bas Parah Hosai Ala Yor. Right, she went down to wash herself by the river, and her helpers came with her. And she sent out her hand, amasa, whatever that means, vatikochel, says Rashi, different pirushim, either or shivcha, Rabbi Senador, Shogoshin Yad, Behem Darshu, es amasa es yad, what does that mean? It's her hand, she sent her hand out, what does that mean? Ubinishtarva, amasa amos harbe, and it reached out a tremendous length, reached out many amos. No, she was able to reach it. So Rabbi Chaim says, what's pshat? What, all of a sudden a miracle happened? 1 second, she was a normal person with a hand, 2 feet long. A minute later, she had a hand 10 feet long. Later on, it went back to 2 feet. That's not pshat, he says. I don't know if he has midrash, I'm not sure where he gets, but he brings rice later on, but he says, that's not pshat. Pshat is that she had a tremendous amount of energy, a tremendous amount of drive, of inspiration. She really cared. She wanted to see what's going on with that little, little boat, that little cradle, the bassinet, whatever it was. She wanted to see what it was, and she really cared. She wanted to go out and get it. So what happened? So we have tremendous kochos within ourselves, says Reb Chaim, as we all know. I mean, the Bali Musa explained that. Now, Kodesh Baruch created Adam Rishon. He was Misof, Olam Asof. He was tremendous, powerful, strong, brilliant. And after the Chet, he was Nismait, right? He became smaller physically and less powerful and less smart, but there was still tremendous kochos left within us. And if a person can harness those kochos because of his motivation, he really wants to do, so you can do things which would seem to be a miracle. They're not miracles, but you can accomplish so much more. He brings more examples. He talks about the same with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, when he got to the bear and he picked up the rock and he rolled it off. Rashi brings over there, I think we mentioned one time, that it's like he unplugged a barrel of wine, it takes the pekaku off the barrel. It was very simple. But says Reb Chaim, but what's Pshat over there? Well, he was a very strong person, he was very powerful. Hashem gave him supernatural strength. So that can't be, because it's brought down, I think it's Tfilos Geshem or Tal, I'm not sure which one it is. I think it's Geshem. It's brought down that in all the schusim, all the different avos and gedolim we had, we daven to Hashem, please give us Geshem. And one of them is Yaakov Avinu. And so what's mentioned about Yaakov is the fact that Mitzvos Yaakov, because he went ahead and pushed, because of his strength of pushing off the rock. So we ask Hashem, you made him so powerful, you gave him big muscles, therefore he could roll the rock off. How's that? Why should we have it? What's the big schus? Hashem made him strong, so he made a Hercules, what's the schus? Terrace says Yaakov Avinu also. He wasn't a super strong person, but he had tremendous motivation, a tremendous amount of desire, inspiration to go ahead and get rid of that rock. You hear these famous stories, all these crazy stories, even nowadays you hear. There was an accident on 995, and the car turned over, and there was someone pinned underneath, and this guy came along and picked it up. What, the guy was a Hercules, was Superman? No. But you have so much, when your adrenaline starts flowing, and you're excited, and you really want to do, you can accomplish super, what seems to be phenomenal feats. That was Yaakov Avinu. He wasn't a super strong guy, says Reb Chaim. He was someone who really cared, and he wanted to do the chesed, wanted to help out the Rachel with the son, with the sheep. He was motivated. For the future of Kai Yisrael, was motivated. See what's going on with the whole business. He was motivated. Same thing he says when it comes to Yaakov Avinu with the sleeping. He didn't sleep 14 years, says Rashi. Right? Not even on a rock, he didn't sleep 14 years. I'm not sure what the answer is, but he says that is, at least to make it Olah Das a little bit, because he has such tremendous motivation to learn Torah. So he didn't need to sleep. He was, when I sit down, I fall asleep when I'm trying to learn. But Yaakov didn't fall asleep because he was probably just as tired as I am. He was more tired than I was after 14 years, not even on a rock for 14 years. Okay? I still can't understand it, but at least to make it somewhere Olah Das, so Pshat as he says, because he had tremendous, tremendous drive, tremendous motivation, because he wanted to accomplish He recognized his potential. He recognized who he was. He recognized the job HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him to sit in Shtai, become a Gadol HaDor for 14 years before he goes out into the world over there. That's what made the difference. So all these people, whether it's Basio, Basparo, Yaakov Avinu, a couple of situations, it's the drive that makes all the difference in the world. So we are both have to focus on, number one, who we are, right? And that brings motivation, that brings strength, and that brings understanding. It brings, allows us to think and be careful and restrain ourselves and what we should not be doing, recognize how great we are. And the same recognition, how great we are, also gives motivation to go ahead and push ahead weiter and try harder and the phenomenal results that one can achieve. I will say, there's no question. Listen, in my short little existence, I will say, I've seen Talmid in this yeshiva, okay, who come in, they're shvach, they can't sit, they can't focus, they can't figure out pshat and tosis, you know, but come with siyata shmai, obviously, and hard work and having a musa seder to recognize how much they could accomplish and recognizing how much I could gain and what my responsibilities are, how beautiful Torah is, how I'll become a different person. If you work on it, it's within yourself. You don't have to wait for Rabbi Naiman to inspire you. Sit down. Every day is, 15 minutes of Musar, this palace before they get together, right? First, you utilize the time properly, are both saying. You go ahead and motivate yourself. You learn the proper svarim. You learn Divrei Torah when it comes to the chashivas haTorah, chashivas of midos, chashivas of menshuchah, chashivas of emes, whatever it might all be. That motivates a person, combined with the fact that we recognize who we are, how chashiv we are, what a selam akim we are. So it helps us to sur meira, not to do what's bad. Helps the Asay Tov to do what's right and do what's good. And we can be zocha to accomplish tremendous amounts of things.